Gotcha.
Hello, Madison. Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, a show about clean tech, renewable energy, and the ways this rapidly growing industry is changing how we think about power. The Wisconsin Energy Broadcast is a project of the Perpetual Notion Machine. Now, here's your host, Heather Allen and Nan Fay.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast. Nan and I are very excited to bring you some experts from the Oregon School District and HGA, or Sustainable Engineering Group, to talk to you about Oregon going net zero energy. So why don't we let everyone here in the room introduce ourselves, and then if our person on the phone has made it, we'll have him introduce himself as well.
Sure, I'll go first. My name's Alex Harris. I'm with HGA, formerly SEG, and we are the net zero energy consultants on this project. So we basically help the design team make the correct decisions as they go through and design a net zero energy building.
Hi, I'm Kathleen. I'm a senior at Oregon High School, and I am interested in studying architecture this fall in university.
Excellent.
Hi, I'm Andy Weiland. I'm the business manager for the school district and been working on the project since the referendum through the design and hopefully completion soon.
Excellent. Do you want to say hi, Nan?
Hi, this is Nan. Do we have Nathan on the line?
Nathan might be on hold.
Okay. We do have one more person that we'll bring into the conversation. He's part of the architecture team, the design team. But let's start off with a real basic question about why did the Oregon School District decide to build new schools?
Sure. This is Andy. Basically, what we were looking at is we had just completed our 2014 referendum. And as we got done with that referendum, we said, what's next? And we're wondering what the population was going to be in Oregon School District over the next 10, 15 years. And so we commissioned a study and basically found that the area in Fitchburg that goes to Oregon School District was going to be exploding very quickly as it follows the 14 corridor, and realized that we had about 2,000 more students that we are anticipating having between now and 2030. And anticipating that, looking at our capacity of our current buildings, we said we need to come up with a study group and try to figure out how we're going to do that, how we're going to accommodate that many students in the next 15, which now is 12 years, 11 years.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, can you tell us a little bit about what the November 2018 referendum gave you the authority, the school district the authority to do?
Sure. So there are a couple different parts to it. The main part is to build this new K-6 elementary school. And we're actually building it in Fitchburg. Obviously, we needed to buy land for that. And then in the planning process, we identified another building that we'll need somewhere in the next decade. And so we are actually buying another building or another piece of property for that. And then there's some security improvements through the rest of the district's buildings that we're doing. But the majority of that $44,900,000 is really for building this new elementary school that we've are designing as a zero energy building.
Okay, great. So that must mean that the school district has a focus on sustainability. Kathleen, can you tell us how the school district is focused on sustainability?
Sure. So the district adopted basically a policy for environmental sustainability starting back, I think it was 2016, 2018.
Yep.
And it basically outlines how they want to keep taking a step towards sustainability, which leads us into this project that they've been doing recently.
Great.
Another component of that is it's really kind of a twofold thing. One is our buildings, but also continuing with education and having the kids have experiences with the buildings, which kind of fits into this building because it's not only a zero energy building, it's also designed to be a tool for students to kind of learn about energy.
So how did you decide that was the focus you wanted to do a net zero design?
That's a great question. The policy, as Kathleen had just said, was just approved in 2018, actually, so a little over a year ago. And so there was a huge focus on that, and the architectural team and I were talking about it And it's kind of interesting. If you look outside my office window, there's a building next to us. It's actually a over 100-year-old school building. And I started thinking, well, the school buildings last forever. And if we're going to kind of start doing something to change how we use energy and those types of things, we have to start with new buildings. Because our school buildings last forever. And if you know anything about the engineering challenges associated with reducing the amount of energy a building uses, you really kind of have to do it. It's not exclusive, but it's really easier to do it right from the get-go. If you design it right from the beginning, it's going to go a lot easier. It's going to be more cost-effective than trying to retrofit something. So especially if you're not going to burn any carbon-based fuels or anything like that, you got to have geothermal. You got to do things so that you're not kind of starting yourself in a hole right from the get-go.
So I know a little bit about net zero energy designing for smaller buildings like residences. Alex, can you tell us something about how you make a large building like a school be net zero energy?
Sure, yeah. And there really aren't a lot of new systems or technologies within this building. It's really pulling on a lot of existing designs that have been tried and true and proven over multiple different iterations of the commercial design development, and then bringing them all together in a way that hasn't been done, at least in this region. And so, you know, geothermal has been in schools for, I think the first one in Wisconsin was probably 15 to 20 years ago. And PV has been part of schools, or photovoltaics have been part of schools for probably about 10 years ago, but they became very cost effective. So combining these technologies together and then sort of scaling it up to the size where you can build a brand new building that's, you know, solar ready and has ready for all these technologies is really sort of the next step in sort of these system design and evolution.
Excellent, excellent. And I think we may have our person on the phone back on. Nathan, do we have you on the phone?
Yes, I am here. Hi, everyone.
Excellent. Great. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. So, Nathan, can you just give us your background? How are you connected to the project?
Sure, absolutely. So I am an architect with Bray Architects. We've had a long history designing buildings with the Oregon School District, and we are the architects working on Oregon Elementary.
Perfect. So perhaps you can tell us, are there other examples of net zero schools?
Not in Wisconsin specifically. I think their net zero buildings are still pretty rare in Wisconsin. There are other school buildings, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, higher education buildings that are either net zero capable or have been kind of confirmed to be net zero in other states. So a lot of, I think, examples on the East Coast and the West Coast, some in the South. Some of that is related to weather and kind of regional pieces there. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that across all different areas of the United States into the future.
That's exciting. So are there any special financing requirements to do a net zero school? How do you put a project like this together?
It's not really a requirement, but there was an opportunity that we took advantage of, and it seemed to work out really, really well for us. We actually sold the bonds, the $44 million in bonds a couple weeks ago, and we got an awesome rate. Our financial advisor came to us and said, I've never done this, but are these things called green bonds? And basically, green bonds are kind of a new financial instrument out there, and they're designed so that large companies or individual investors who want to have a sustainable focus with their investment earnings, they want to have a kind of a social, I don't know, conscious with their investing, basically look for these types of opportunities. And because they're looking for these opportunities, they're willing to maybe perhaps take a little bit less interest earnings than other bonds that are available, which then saves us a little bit of money. And so the folks that bought our bonds, there was a large institutional investor, we're told, but there were also a couple smaller investors that really were looking for these kind of morally different types of investments for their portfolios. And so we got great interest rates. The green bonds are kind of a new thing, so there's not a lot of rules associated with it. But we basically promised our investors that we would do some analysis to make sure that our building is a zero energy building associated. So in that sense, and we haven't really talked about that much, but basically making sure that the building makes as much energy that it as it uses over a different year. I mean, that's really the standard. It's very kind of simple in that regard. So we just need to have the PV create, the photovoltaics create enough energy to compensate for all the other energy uses in the building.
So I have a question maybe for Nathan and Kathleen. Maybe you can both jump in on this. I'm really curious about how you can incorporate the energy savings and generation of the building itself into the curriculum and learning at the school so that students are aware that they're going to a really special school. And how are they going to learn something about how that works?
Yeah, I can start there. I know Andy touched on having the building function as a learning tool. So we're trying to incorporate as a design team, right, not only Bray Architects as the architects of record on the project, but all of our engineers and consultants, Alex and his team, the mechanical, plumbing, and electrical engineers that we're working with as well. So I think one piece of that is, and we're still in the design phase of exactly what these pieces will look like, but potentially a net zero dashboard or some type of display, right, in a prominent area in the building where students, staff, visitors can interact with the building systems, understand how much energy was produced yesterday, how much energy do we use yesterday, related to water use, potentially related to electrical use, electrical production, how's the geothermal system functioning? Are we in heating mode or cooling mode right now? So really trying to take some of those elements of the building systems that are sometimes hidden behind walls and display them in a way that can be viewed both in the building and then potentially posted on a website or something of that nature as well.
That sounds great. Kathleen, do you have anything to add to that?
What I've noticed is that when I was in seventh grade, so probably 6 years ago, our middle school actually started to, we put on solar panels for part of the science rooms, and we would use those solar panels to power these huge batteries that would basically, you plug it in and it would charge the students' phones. So they started to really like incorporate that, and I know they added another one a couple years later after I was out of there, but students frequently used that battery and they got to see how the solar panel produced this energy that powers their phones.
That's really exciting. Actually, I think I remember Andy brought an example of that. It's like a little small pocketbook-sized battery that can power, you know, your devices unconnected to anything else. That's really exciting.
Absolutely.
That brings me to another question. Will the school district be looking at ways to share this technology experience with members of the public who are not students? You know, on the weekends, might you do tours once in a while? Or have you been thinking about how to, I mean, if this is one of the first schools or the first school in Wisconsin to do this, it'll be really interesting and could be a model for other entities.
Absolutely. We were just talking about that the other day, that another school district that's been doing these types of things is Lake Mills, just not too far down the road. And they had so many people seeing their unique building that they set up a certain day of the week. Otherwise, we do have instruction going on and we want to be, that's kind of our priority, obviously. But we do want to share this and we do feel like there's a reason to have other people look at these and hopefully adopt this so that we can all move to a more sustainable future as fast as possible.
That's great. I think any time that a community can set an example for its residents, that's a really important thing to do and share your learning with them. I have a question about other aspects of sustainability that you might be building into or designing space for, even on the grounds around the school. For instance, community garden, school garden, is it possible to do gray water within the system? Those kinds of questions. Can anyone speak to that?
Yeah, I can jump in a little bit there. All of those items were discussed as part of the planning process for the building. Some of them we are going to incorporate into the final design and construction. Some were deemed either to be financially unachievable or just didn't contribute to the net zero goals in the same way. So we do currently have planned both a garden space in one of our outdoor classrooms or courtyards that will be part of the building. I know the district has had a lot of success with a hoop house or kind of a greenhouse system at some of their other buildings. So we've planned a location for that on the elementary school site. We're not specifically using gray water inside the building for any of our plumbing fixtures, but we do have a rainwater irrigation cistern planned that will help irrigate any of the plants in the outdoor garden. And then we're also looking at using as money, and Andy, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think we committed to all native landscaping throughout the rest of the site as well.
Absolutely. We have parents that are very interested in making sure that those we follow those rules and we don't use any of the species that obviously are invasive or are just completely natural to our area.
For those who are not in the room with us, Nan just gave the big thumbs up because she's a food policy expert. She likes to see those native plantings. So I have another question about the details of the system, and whoever feels comfortable, please feel free to chime in. But I'm wondering, how many panels are we talking about? How many solar panels? Are you doing geothermal? Are there other energy systems? Are there batteries involved? And are you benefiting from net metering with your utility?
That's a lot of questions, but I'll do my best.
I saved them all, and I didn't tell you about them in advance.
So others feel free to chime in, but I'll start broadly. As Andy alluded to, the net zero energy equation is fairly simple. On an annual basis, we want to produce as much energy as the school will use. So on the usage side, there's five or six categories of energy that we kind of lump these into bins. There's the HVAC, the mechanical, that would be the geothermal system we're designing there. There would be the lighting, so that would be an LED lighting system with advanced daylighting controls and things like that. There would be the plug loads, so that's everything from computers to data to, plugging your phone charger, anything that would, go through that miscellaneous power category. And then the kitchen, which would include things like the dishwasher and the domestic and things like that. And I think the last one there is domestic hot water. So that's the water in the bathrooms and things like that. There's not a huge amount of load in an elementary school, but that's definitely a component. And then on the generation side, how we produce energy, the most cost-effective in our climate has definitely been shown to be PV panels. And so basically, we put on enough PV panels to make up for the usage of all the other systems in the building. And we've done our best to make all those systems as cost-effective and as low energy intensity as possible in order to reduce the amount of PV panels we need on the roof, because every time you reduce your usage, you can reduce how much you need to produce. That being said, I think we're planning for basically blanketing the roof of the building with solar panels. I think we'll have somewhere around 700 or so kW of PV capacity on the roof. I'm not sure how many panels that translates to, but I think it's over 1,000. It's quite a few. And, building or designing the building from ground up has allowed us to optimize the roof for PV panel installation. So where we run into issues with retrofits, it's other mechanical systems in the way or the roof's tilted the wrong way or something like that. We've been able to really, gain some efficiencies by building this from the ground up. I'm trying to think any other details that Nathan, you might want to add or Andy?
No, I don't think so specifically. I think you covered a lot of it, Alex. Really, the big equation there is right, reducing the amount of energy the building is using to then reduce the need for the amount of energy that we're producing, so we can make sure that that equation is equal on both sides.
The one thing that I thought of, and Nathan, you guys really came up with it, was right from the get-go, the footprint of the building was oriented north or east-west to maximize kind of the area that could be that the sun could shine on. So, and then the second story, there's a second story on the basically the north part of the building. So again, no shadows and any of those types of things. You had to kind of right from the design point, right when you're building the footprint, have that oriented so that we could maximize the amount of sun that we could capture.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a component very early in our schematic design, Andy. You hit that right on the head. And I know I mentioned our garden courtyard, right, as one of three courtyards that we have in the building. And I think that's just another component, being able to provide as much natural light as we can to the building. I know Alex talked about the LED interior lighting fixtures and them being tied into daylight sensors. So if we're getting sunlight into the building, we'll be able to reduce the need for artificial light then potentially.
So this is Nan and Heather mentioned that I do food policy here in Madison. So I'm very interested in whether or not you're designing your kitchen to actually be able to cook fresh food, because a lot of schools, older schools, no longer have that ability, but it's a very strong push in the community to be able to grow things in a school garden, bring them in, cook them with the kids, and compost the waste. So have you thought about that?
I'll jump in. Absolutely. This kitchen or this building will have a production kitchen. So rather than a just warming kitchen where you're bringing food offsite, it'll have the ability to have the produce that's created there harvested. And then we actually have a warming kitchen that's outside the regular kitchen where product can be washed and maintained so that it can be then utilized for the students to eat. Kids love that. We aren't able to necessarily do it on an everyday basis, but like once a week in all our elementary schools, we do have fresh products that we brought in just a salad bar. And we don't even necessarily have the kids, it's not part of the free and reduced lunch program. It's just if anybody wants to go grab any of the greens or anything, they can.
That's wonderful news. Thanks. I'm really happy to hear that.
The other thing that, Heather, you mentioned before, and it's a passion of mine, so I'll mention it. You mentioned batteries.
Yeah.
And we are looking at having batteries as a part of this school. One of the things that is great about net zero is it's carbon neutral. Unfortunately, I'm the business guy, so I'm always looking for the money angle of things. And the payback on these types of things isn't as good as we would like it to be. And as you understand, sustainable energy, it's starting to take off because the money starts to make sense. And we want to try to figure out a way to make this make sense from a money perspective a little bit quicker than it would if we don't do something creative like use the batteries. Our buildings, two-thirds of the energy or the cost of the buildings for operating them on an energy basis is based on demand charges. And you don't see that necessarily when you're looking at your home bill. But on a commercial bill, you see that basically the 15 minutes of highest energy usage in at least the Alliant Energy territory determines two-thirds of the cost of your bill. So, and that's on a monthly and a yearly basis. So the batteries allow us to basically utilize a stored energy to reduce those demand costs and make it pay for itself a little bit faster than if we didn't have that capability. So that's a real interesting thing. It really makes renewables, I think it makes the cost component of renewables as well as the sustainability of renewables a lot more of an issue that can scale and become adapted a lot quicker than where we've been in the past.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a really interesting element, both the demand charges and how that affects your utility costs and how batteries can serve multiple purposes, be they financial or, you know, providing, you want your school district to be able to operate, your school, yep, to be able to operate, yep, when other things are not operating, maybe as a resource for the community. So that's another area that we're really interested in. I know that we're getting close on time here, so I just want to ask, maybe this is a question for Alex, can you tell us about the timeline for getting this project built and what we can expect in next steps?
Sure. I probably would also call on Nathan to help me out with the schedule here, but I believe we'll be wrapping up our design next summer and starting construction, Nathan, correct me if I'm wrong, next fall. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's actually even accelerated earlier than that.
Okay.
We're actually
We're finishing some of our, and Andy, yeah, feel free to jump in too, right? Finishing some of our site and structural drawings this spring. Construction will start this spring, and then we'll issue some additional drawings later, probably right at the beginning of summer of 2019, and then look to complete construction in August of 2020.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, in terms of net zero energy verification, basically to, you know, verify that everything is working as intended, we're really going to look for that first school year to basically figure out, you know, where do we come in our estimates versus our actual and sort of proof of concept there. So it'll be an exciting period in that 2020 school year to kind of see all this data come in and verify all of our assumptions and our calculations to see, you know, how everything shakes out.
Fantastic. So, Kathleen, what are you most excited about with this project as a student?
It is so cool to see all this. Seeing just how, like, the evolution of schools have come along. I mean, like, it's such a cool design that the school district has thought of and the architects and the engineers have done. And it's just a really awesome project.
Yeah, something to be proud of for your school districts. Very cool. You're on the cutting edge. So if another school wanted to pursue putting solar on their rooftop, say they have an existing school, or they want to build new and they want to build a net zero energy school, what advice could all of you give to people in the school about how to approach these projects? What are the first steps?
I would say you need to get kind of the leadership, the folks on the school board. That was the big advantage that we had at Oregon School District, is that they were leaders in this area. And so it made my job easy because they kind of put the policy together. I looked at the policy and said, this really opens up all kinds of advantage or possibilities for us. We started talking as a team and it went from there. So I think having that leadership, because there is a cost component to it, it will over time pay for itself, but it also becomes kind of that why. Why do we educate kids? It becomes a kind of a moral purpose for the education of kids, that we can provide something that's just that the younger generation are really, really interested in. And they should be, because it's about their future.
Yeah, and I'll say for the design team's perspective, it's really been great to have the support and champion within the school district. You know, we work with a lot of different districts and customers on all sorts of different projects. And, you know, to have a customer drive that kind of decision is very unique. You know, we're happy to design net zero energy buildings all day long, but we don't get to do it unless all the stars align, so to speak. And this project, it certainly has.
I'm guessing there's going to be some school envy in the surrounding counties.
Yeah. I'm almost wondering if you're going to start building like a network of green school districts in the state of Wisconsin that can work together and help each other advance to the whatever stage they're at in developing, you know, a clean energy future or a sustainable school, to help each other move up the ladder. I'm sure something like that exists, even as I'm saying it out loud.
The group of administrators around the Madison area, that we all know each other, we all talk to each other, we're always playing ideas off of each other. I think that this is a great place to start that, and then we'll watch it go throughout the rest of the state.
Excellent.
Thanks for your leadership.
Well, thank you all for braving the icy weather that we've been having and coming to the studio and calling in today. We really enjoyed the conversation. If you want to learn more about this project, where can they find more information?
We don't have a website up yet, but I think we will have one very soon. So OregonSD.net, I believe, is our website.
Yep.
Please come to that site, and we'll have some things up there hopefully pretty soon.
Yeah, stay tuned. And if you have any ideas for the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, email us at wisconsin.energy.broadcast@gmail.com. Thanks, and stay safe on the roads.
Good night.